On Monday, September 20th, New York Republican Party Chairman Nick Langworthy was unanimously re-elected by his peers to the post that he has held since July of 2019. So we're checking in with the Erie County Republican about his first 2 years as head of the state GOP and how he's approaching the next 2 years. Welcome back to the show, Chairman.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So electorally, it seems like your first 2 years in office were kind of a mixed bag as the GOP lost a few seats in the state legislature, but had a couple pickups in Congress. So what was the pitch you made to your fellow Republican leaders for why you should continue to lead the party in New York?
From minute one of my campaign to be chairman back in 2019, this was all about 2022. And, you know, we have made a lot of strides to build the best ticket that we possibly can. And hopefully, you know, match a lot of the things that the party did back leading into 1994. And I've studied what, you know, a great former chairman, Bill Powers, the efforts that he made at that time. You know, they won the mayor's race in New York with Giuliani. Obviously, that was a different time and a different set of circumstances than we face now. But it built towards New York, even though it was a dark blue state, being able to meet the moment of a national red wave in 1994. And we were able to capture not just the governor's mansion, but also the attorney general's office. So I think a lot of the circumstances are in place. And you know, we have done what we said we'd do. We would absolutely restore the fighting spirit to this party, you know, make sure that there is at least an argument out in the public sphere of ideas in a differing opinion. And we took the fight to the previous governor every single day of my term. There was no let up on pointing out what I believe is the vast hypocrisy presented by his administration, the corruption that was presented that he, you know, thrust on people long before anyone ever suggested sexual harassment. So we have done that. We've achieved restoring the fighting spirit. Now we are, you know, rebuilding the infrastructure of the party internally, as well as out there recruiting candidates, you know, navigating redistricting. I mean, we've got a tough set of circumstances. We lost that critical Senate majority back in 2018. That's what led me to run, you know, for chairman in the first place. We lost 9 seats. It was a shellacking. It was about getting up, dusting yourself off, and getting ready for the fight. 2020 was really an extraordinary year in so many different ways. We're very proud of the two gains that we had in Congress with Nicole Malliotakis and Claudia Tenney, as well as holding a really tough open seat on Long Island with Andrew Garbarino succeeding Pete King. So, you know, yeah, we slid a little bit in the Senate. That's certainly for sure. But, you know, we also dealt with an unprecedented amount of retirements. And, you know, that's the thing that doesn't end up in most of the stories is how many, you know, good, solid incumbents didn't seek reelection. And those races became very difficult, especially given the pandemic.
So you mentioned a couple things there, the fighting spirit and rebuilding the infrastructure. Those are two things that you've talked a lot about since running for chairman and in the ensuing years. And the proof is in the pudding with regards to the fighting spirit. Like you said, you can see that constantly, press releases, media attention. Infrastructure, though, is kind of below the surface to a large degree. So I'm curious, you know, how you feel that effort is going, and what do you feel like you have to show for at this point in that effort to really rebuild the ranks in terms of the Republican Party in New York?
Well, I mean, we were well on our way on many programs. I mean, unfortunately, a global pandemic stopped, some of those programs dead in their tracks as they did all in-person politics. And that was something that we all had to pivot on. I mean, as I was doing extensive, you know, community engagement, minority outreach within the city and programs that, you know, wouldn't be evident publicly because they're being held
right
internally within county committee structures and in local politics. But we also pivoted and built out digital infrastructure that the party did not have before. And we're preparing for the future, you know, by doing that. And, you know, that goes through using different means to recruit volunteers, activists, implementing new technology so people can effectively campaign and volunteer from their homes rather than just, you know, going into an office to make phone calls. I mean, these are things that our people did, you know, during the pandemic when, you know, they may not have felt safe going out and doing traditional campaign activities. They were able to be involved, you know, through the use of the technology that we've incorporated into the party in partnership with the RNC to take things to the next level, to really implement things. I mean, in some parts of the state, we still run campaigns like we did in the 80s. We need to get that, you know, totally modernized and get, you know, younger people involved in this process, you know, people that want, common goals. I mean, we're not out trying to accomplish, you know, some extreme right-wing agenda in the state. We're realists. We're pragmatists in the Republican Party in the state. We're out there trying to restore common sense and more of a middle ground to our government and restore balance to a state that is off the rails with one-party Democratic control.
So as you move forward then, what benchmarks for success are you using for yourself and the party more broadly in New York? You mentioned 2022, so is the goal there to win the executive mansion? Is it just to be competitive? What are you setting out as realistic objectives to judge yourself and the party by?
We are not playing for second place. So we have been from the outset of the time I ran for chairman, I said, this party's mission must be to recapture the governor's mansion. And I truly believe the only way to change New York is to change governors of the state of New York. And that doesn't just mean Andrew Cuomo. That means, you know, putting a Republican in the governor's mansion that can be that can drive the agenda. I mean, we captured the Senate majority back, that would be great. But still, we would be outnumbered in Albany. We'd have the ability to stop bad things, perhaps. But one House majority can't drive the full agenda. They can get some victories, but not really change the culture. A governor can change the culture. A governor has extraordinary powers in the budget. And I believe that, you know, we have that opportunity here in 2022. That is our mission. That is what we have set out to do from the very beginning. You know, we saw a governor who, was corrupt, was a bully, was all the things people learned that he eventually was. And I think that we pierced the veil on him in many ways. It was somewhat of a lonely mission at times when he was at 75% approval rating because he had the Cuomo show on all day. But I was still out there pointing out things that in many other Republicans were out there pointing out, you know, infringements on our rights and in overreaches of the government, but also just blatant corruption. And this cabal has run the show. And Kathy Hochul, she was lieutenant governor for 8 years. And in this whole shtick of I didn't know anything and I'm new here, that's not going to fly with people. I mean, when you're the number two, when you're the chief cheerleader and you ran around the state and clapped your hands and were excited about every one of these Cuomo initiatives, that record is also your record, Kathy Hochul, and you're going to have to live up to that. And there, as far as I'm concerned, she's going to have no honeymoon in this state.
Down the ballot in 2022, you mentioned the Senate majority. Do you think there's any realistic way in which Republicans could pick up, I think, 13 seats, 12 seats they would need in order to have a majority? Or is the goal at this point just to deny Democrats that supermajority?
I mean, listen, that's a big mountain to climb, but we have to see how redistricting shakes out. We've got a lot of legal challenges ahead of us here. We've got a process that was supposed to be independent, supposed to, you know, create lines that aren't, you know, drawn by politicians. But you have Democrats who are trying to hijack that process by putting, you know, a amendment on the Constitution this year that would basically gut and neuter in any independent redistricting in the state. I think that people have to, I see the League of Women Voters has even come out against that. I think people need to come out and vote a loud no on that amendment to the Constitution. We have to see how these lines, you know, come out before we can establish our goals. But, you know, I'm an optimistic warrior. If I was a defeatist, I wouldn't have gone and fought to have this job. I believe our best days are ahead of us and we can save this state. But we have to restore balance to New York if we are going to have a future in this state, because, you know, there are people leaving here constantly to go find better opportunities and more freedom and a cheaper and better way to live. I mean, we can't pick everybody's pocket and expect them to sit silently by while you also strip them of their freedoms and their rights. Many New Yorkers feel trampled on, and we need, you know, we need a governor to come in here and say, New York is actually open for business. We are going to go out of our way to attract jobs. I mean, things that I see other governors doing, like Ron DeSantis or Rick Scott when he was governor of Florida, or even Chris Christie, for that matter, when he was governor of New Jersey. You know, he went out and recruited businesses to come in, was an ambassador for the state. We just seem resolved here that, yeah, we're a high-tech state, and let's blame the federal government. Well, we were in a deficit. We got to remind everybody, we were in a wicked deficit that Andrew Cuomo and this legislature created. And then, you know, Joe Biden bailed the state out. That money's going to run out. And then we're going to be right back to the same place we were at. And they'll be picking New Yorkers' pockets once again if we don't get some sort of relief in a change in culture in this state.
More immediately, what are your goals for this fall's general elections? I assume you're not betting the House on a GOP win in the race for New York City. So where are the areas you're looking to make either pickups or at least hold ground?
Well, there's some very interesting races around the state, and they're starting to take shape. I mean, we're certainly working within the law where we can to help in New York City. You know, some people aren't familiar with that, but we can't really expend resources on New York City council races or mayoralties that are involved in the public matching funds process. So we can't really commingle in those regards, but we can get out the vote. And that's something that we're very serious about. And there are some very compelling city council races, and some new candidates that I'm very excited about and will be campaigning with very soon. As well as, you know, we're looking to, you know, win critical races in the Westchester County Legislature, as well as also, you know, there's huge races on Long Island for district attorney in both Suffolk and Nassau County, but also as you look forward to, you know, races for the legislature and county executive in Nassau. Those are on the table in a big way. Upstate, you know, the race for the Monroe County Legislature is at top of mind, you know, legislative races at the county levels, almost all over the state. So we're working with our local partners, our county chairs, our leaders, to identify, you know, where can we make the difference? I mean, you know, is there a county where we can help flip the balance? And we're making those decisions here in the next, you know, several weeks and going to get, you know, very involved. But we're also just providing additional data resources and, you know, techniques to our counties to modernize their efforts and bring new technologies to how we run local races.
And finally, you've said on this show before that you're not a gambler, but do you feel like it's a pretty safe bet that the Buffalo Bills will be the Super Bowl champions come February?
I think that after a 35-0 victory against the Miami Dolphins, Rob Astorino's team, the Miami Dolphins, I think there's no doubt that we're well on our way, and I have already planned to go to the parade in Buffalo that we'll have to celebrate the Lombardi coming here to upstate New York.
Well, we've been speaking with New York Republican Party Chairman Nick Langworthy. Chairman, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I look forward to being back soon.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.